KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies at 66 degrees. We look for scattered showers and perhaps a few thunderstorms today, a high of 77. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. In Southwest Iowa news, two new bridges are planned for a highway low spot near a Missouri bridge that connects southeast Nebraska with southwest Iowa. The Iowa Transportation Department will begin taking bids next month for construction of eastbound and westbound bridges for a section of Iowa Highway 2. The highway runs from Interstate 29 west of the bridge and the Nebraska City. On the Nebraska side, the highway reopened in May after 56 days of being shut down, with drivers forced to use a temporary lane made of permeable rock. But that section eventually became submerged again. The section was also flooded in 2011. An Iowa Department of Transportation official says construction could start as soon as August, but probably wouldn't be finished until the fall of 2021. Well, it should be a lot easier to get from Council Bluffs to Sioux City now that Interstate 29 between I-680 near Crescent and I-680 at Loveland has reopened to traffic. The road was officially reopened yesterday afternoon. Those areas had been closed since May due to flooding in the area for the second time this spring. Due to continued flooding south of Council Bluffs, I-29 from U.S. 34 to the Missouri border remains closed. Other flood-related closures continue on U.S. Highway 34, Iowa Highway 2, Iowa 275, and Iowa 333. The leaders of Iowa's flood-ravaged cities and counties may decide down the road whether they want to apply for funding to buy people's damaged homes. If they apply for a voluntary buyout through FEMA, they could buy the homes, demolish them, and turn the land into green space. But once that happens, the land can't be turned back. It's for that reason Pacific Junction Mayor Andy Young says it's a huge decision for smaller cities like his.
I don't want 30 or 40 parks in my town. I want it so that we can rebuild and be able to rebuild down the future. We need it as deeded property.
Young says his city is not committed yet, and they're waiting to see what will come out of federal disaster aid. Dennis Harper with the Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management says these programs are offered to all local governments, but they're most often tied to disaster recovery, so communities affected by flooding are talking about them.
After those properties have been impacted, these kind of programs are the only way. They're probably going to recapture the pre-flood market value of that home.
Harper says it could take 2 years to complete a buyout project. In eastern Iowa, officials in the city of Burlington, which dealt with flooding in May, say they are not looking into residential buyouts. In September, the city of Clive created its own buyout program using leftover money from the city's prior budget year to acquire properties affected by the June 2018 flood. The Mills County Engineer's Office said yesterday repairs are ongoing for Lambert Avenue between I-29 and the Plattsmouth Bridge. Damage is more extensive with the second round of flooding, and officials are hoping to reopen the road later this week, weather permitting. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said yesterday it has almost completed work to close three of the most serious levee breaches on the Missouri River in southwest Iowa. Matthew Krzyzewski is readiness branch chief for the Corps' Omaha district. He said four of the 40 breaches needed urgent attention after the flooding in March and May, and three of those were scheduled to have been closed on Monday. The Omaha World Herald reports the levees needing urgent repairs were designed to protect Council Bluffs, Bartlett, Percival, and Hamburg. The closure of those four breaches is expected to cost more than $34 million. The other breaches aren't as large and don't put as much infrastructure or people at risk. Some of the breaches are allowing water to flow back into the river from flooded fields. Elsewhere in area news, the Cass County Sheriff's Office said yesterday three non-injury accidents had taken place last week. On Sunday, deputies responded to at around 2:40 p.m. to a two-vehicle accident at the intersection of Highway 71 and Keystone Road. I should say that's on June the 9th. A 2010 Ford Edge owned and driven by 67-year-old James Peter Heller of Manila was southbound on Highway 71 when the vehicle struck the left rear of a 2003 Subaru Legacy owned and driven by 42-year-old Shannon Lee Julich of Harlan, who attempted to make a U-turn and did not see Heller's vehicle approaching. Julich was cited for failure to yield upon entering a highway. Damage from the collision amounted to $7,000 altogether. At around 11:44 p.m. on June the 11th, Cass County deputies responded to an accident on Grain Street in Lewis. A 2003 Jeep Grand Cherokee driven by 27-year-old Morgan Barbara Dvorak of Griswold struck a parked 2016 Nissan Maxima owned by Donna Jean Roberts of Lewis. Dvorak was cited for striking an unattended vehicle, failure to maintain control, and open container. Damage to the vehicles amounted to $13,500. And at around 10.05 p.m. on last Friday, Cass County deputies responded to a report of a car tractor accident at the intersection of Main and Adair Streets in Griswold. A 2005 John Deere driven by 75-year-old Sidney Rossell of Atlantic was backing up on Main Street when it struck a 2006 Buick Lucerne, owned and driven by 79-year-old Mary Ann Kirchhoff of Griswold. Damage to the Kirchhoff vehicle was estimated at $2,500. The Creston Police Department today says 33-year-old Kyle Kreb of Creston was arrested on drug charges at around 4:50 this morning. Kreb was taken into custody for possession of a controlled substance first offense and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was later released from the Union County Jail on $1,300 bond. Monday evening, 41-year-old Carrie Langille of Seneca, Missouri, was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of theft in the fifth degree. Langille was released on a $300 bond. And late Monday morning, 37-year-old Zeke Chaffa of Greenfield was arrested in Creston for driving while revoked. He was later released on a $1,000 bond. Authorities in Union County said yesterday they were looking for a Creston teen who has not been heard from since Friday night. The Creston Police Department was notified at around 7:30 a.m. Saturday that 14-year-old Raven Lillian Shields, a missing or runaway person, was last seen wearing a red sweatshirt and white pants. Raven is 5'1" tall, a Caucasian female who weighs about 100 pounds. She has blue eyes and sandy brown hair. Her whereabouts are currently unknown. You can see pictures of the teen in this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. And if you have any information about her whereabouts, contact the Creston Police Department at 641-782-8402 or your local law enforcement agency. Officials of the Creston Police Department said yesterday that two people were arrested Friday morning on drug charges following the execution of a search warrant at 601 North Oak Street in Creston. Authorities say 51 marijuana plants and various marijuana grow operation materials were found inside the home. 39-year-old Aaron James Reapy and 32-year-old Jessica Renee Switelick, both of Creston, were taken into custody on charges that include possession with the intent to sell marijuana, possession with the intent to manufacture marijuana, failure to affix a drug tax stamp, and on two counts of child neglect. And finally in the news, the Cass County Auditor's Office says they're in need of precinct election officials for all polling locations in the county, but in particular for Atlantic Ward 2. If you would like to work, please contact the office at 712-243-4570. Officials say this year, with just the city and school elections, is a good year for persons to start and learn the ropes of precinct elections. If you have any interest and want more information, contact the auditor's office. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Give them a call at 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.